Hey guys, welcome back to The Human Connection, and I'm your host, Pi Martinez. So I hope everybody had a great weekend, and I cannot wait to get started with this episode because it's pretty personal to me. So I'm hoping that I can share some information that will help out someone else or even help somebody else with their child who has this condition. So with that being said, let's get started. So, like I said, today's topic is kind of personal to me because I was diagnosed with ADD as a child. So, for those of you who do not know what ADD stood for, it is attention deficit disorder. And I personally know adults, other adults, and kids that are currently diagnosed with ADHD. And for those of you who still don't know, ADHD is the exact same thing. It's attention deficit, but it's attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. So the only difference really between ADD and ADHD is that ADHD has a hyperactivity component to it and ADD does not. Otherwise, it's pretty much the same thing. So within the last couple of years, however, mental health professionals did away with ADD as one of the identifying terms and have since referred to this as ADHD by itself. So basically, what that means is they no longer recognize ADD and ADHD as being either or the other a condition or the two other conditions for this. They only acknowledge ADHD as being the sole terminology for what this is. So it is no longer known or referred to as having ADD or ADHD. It is now only diagnosed as ADHD. Since I was diagnosed back in the 1990s as a child, back then it was either or, ADD or ADHD. So back then I was diagnosed as having ADD, not ADHD as a child. So I have no idea how that changes my diagnosis. I have not gone to a mental health care professional for a re-diagnosis, so I don't have the slightest clue where this change in terminology leaves me. Like I said, as an adult, I have not gone to have myself reevaluated in that aspect, but anyone that has ever been diagnosed with ADD and still has it, it just FYI, you guys now are known as having ADHD. It's no longer ADD. For all those of you diagnosed with ADD, y'all are diagnosed medically as having ADHD, even if you guys are not hyperactive or do not have the hyperactivity component. It's everyone that has ever been diagnosed with ADD or ADHD is now just ADHD, even if you are not hyperactive, which to me makes no sense whatsoever because I myself had ADD as a child. I most likely still do, but I've never been hyperactive. So I have no idea why they even bother to eliminate ADD as a term and just left it with ADHD. To me, that's kind of unfair because it kind of seems a little discriminatory. Now, that might be going a little too far with it, but to me, it's just weird. Like, I don't understand why they did that because there are plenty of children and adults that have ADD, but they're not hyperactive. They lack that hyperactivity component. And so it seems kind of odd that mental health care professionals would decide to lump hyperactive and non-hyperactive attention deficit individuals as one category, because to me, they're not the same. To me, hyperactivity is a very key component. It's a very specific component. And it just seems like too specific of a difference between the two to just completely ignore it and say, okay, everybody's ADHD, even if you don't have the hyperactivity aspect. To me, it's just ridiculous. But okay, it is what it is. I mean, what do I know? I'm not a mental health care professional. I'm just a regular average person. So, now, with that being said, I would like to issue a quick disclaimer for any of my listeners before y'all go ahead and listen to the rest of my episode. Whatever information I talk about on this episode is solely based on my personal experiences with having ADD or I guess now ADHD, whichever they want to call it. So, with that being said, I am not an expert or professional on the subject of ADHD and would strongly advise y'all to please do your own research or speak to a mental health care professional on ADHD, and especially one that, preferably one that actually specializes in ADHD, if you need any additional information on the subject. Now, with that being said, I was born in the 80s and I grew up in the 90s, so I'm a total 90s kid, every way, shape, or form. For those of you who grew up in the 90s like me, y'all know the general idea of ADD and ADHD at the time wasn't well known. And for those who knew a little bit about it, they kind of underestimated it, as almost looked at it as not, as it not even being a real thing. Like many other parents of that time, my parents weren't exactly keen on allowing me to be medicated for what was then referred to as ADD. As a kid, I knew how immediately my mind would just wander from what was being talked about or worked on at the moment to something completely unrelated. It was almost like a compulsion, like someone else was in control of my brain and was making me look everywhere and think about anything and everything but what I was supposed to be listening to or working on at the time. And so, again, in the 90s, ADD and ADHD were still relatively new in the mental health field. So, as a 90s kid, I didn't recall ADD or ADHD being taken seriously. There just wasn't enough information out there about it at the time. It just wasn't much out there at all that was re readily available to the general public where people can just look it up and research it as much as it is today. There weren't any forums or articles or TV shows or even doctors that were talking about it or discussing it. At least nowhere near as much as it has been discussed and researched in the past decade or so. My parents, like many others at the time, consider ADD and ADHD to be like a myth that was perpetuated by medical professionals and drug companies as just another gimmick or scam to make more money off of vulnerable and naive and hardworking parents and their kids. And they also mainly believed that this was a way for other parents to justify their children's bad behavior and their own bad parenting. Now, I know how ignorant that statement just sounded, but again, this was the thought process of mine and other parents back then because, again, there wasn't enough information on it. And I guess an average society at the time just was not familiar with ADD or ADHD, so they didn't look at it as a real thing. They thought it was just simply a way to justify kids who were just bad or just misbehaved or just broke the rules or just didn't pay attention or just needed to be disciplined or lacked organization or just didn't work as hard or didn't have much work ethic. Back then, society kind of looked at it as just an excuse for kids and adults who didn't want to do their work. And as ignorant as we know that to be now, because now we have so much more information, we now know that ADD and ADHD is a real thing, and there has been science that's backed up that the existence of ADD and the presence of ADD and ADHD. But again, we're talking about my childhood, which was the 90s, so it wasn't much information out there, so people were pretty ignorant about it. So that's what a lot of people's thought process was on it, that it was just a way for other parents to justify their children's bad behavior and their bad parenting. Now, as I mentioned before, I was diagnosed with ADD as a child. And looking back on my childhood, I can honestly say that the signs were always there for sure. Even as a very little girl, I can remember trying so hard to listen to the teacher, but I'd still find myself automatically just looking around the classroom and looking out the window that was next to my desk and just not paying attention. My mind would just zone out automatically without me even trying. It would just do it. And my teachers will lose me basically within the first 30 seconds of the lesson. Like the first minute won't even go by, and my mind's already wandering everywhere. when I should have been working on my classwork, I was drawing or daydreaming. And it wasn't until the teacher would call out to the class that we all had 5 minutes left to finish before the class was over. That's when I would start panicking and I'll start scrambling and rushing to finish the work so that way I wouldn't get a zero or turn in something blank. And it would cause me a lot of anxiety because I found myself just scrambling and rushing to get everything done. And obviously, because I had to rush and scramble, it wasn't my best work. So I would only hope for half credit or a C at best, if not a zero for not finishing it. And this wasn't even complicated schoolwork at all. This was classwork that my classmates would get done within the first 15, 20 minutes of class, but it would take me the whole class period to do it because I was so easily distracted and couldn't seem to focus enough to get it done. And the same was for my homework when I was taking tests and even when I had to do oral presentations. Now, those class presentations were the worst. They gave me the worst anxiety because I was really shy and awkward as a child to begin with. And I was bullied by most of my classmates. So, me having to stand up there and watch, you know, look at them while they're staring at me and me having to get it done was just, it was just the most awful feeling, I swear. It was just, oh, it was a nightmare. And my ADD would just keep me distracted from my presentations. So I would literally just stand there in front of the class, and midway through my little speech, I would get distracted by a bird outside the window or a kid tapping their pencil somewhere or something. And I would just completely lose all track of my words, and I would forget what I was even in the middle of talking about. So yeah, it wasn't fun. It was a freaking disaster. Yeah, it was pretty bad. I was formally diagnosed, but my parents assumed that I was just confused about my classwork, or I didn't understand it, or I was just being lazy. So, of course, I went through all of elementary, middle, and high school without any meds. So, just kind of, I kind of had to learn. I had no choice but to learn how to deal with it or control it or manage it on my own as best I could so I can actually graduate high school and pass. So yeah, it was something that was kind of one of those where I had to really learn different ways and tricks to deal with it. And I guess if I had to come up with one good thing about it, one positive take from it, was that as I got older, I learned how to, you know, I learned these little tricks here or there that would help me better focus and remember the lesson material for when I had to take a test and when I had to present something in front of the class. It just, I learned little things that really helped me out with that because I didn't have a choice. So I basically had to make myself do better and perform better in class. So one of the little tricks actually came from my pediatrician at the time. And that was taking multivitamins with omega-3 and fish oil. Now, it seems like a really small thing, but mind you, I've had the same pediatrician since I was 7 years old. So almost my entire childhood, up until my 18th birthday, I had a pediatrician. And she was amazing. I really miss her. I really do. She was awesome. But she would often ask my mom how myself and my brothers and sisters were doing in school, and my mom started talking to her about my struggles with concentrating and memory and my easy distractions and everything and all sorts of things. And so my pediatrician was the one that suggested to my mom that I start taking a multivitamin with omega-3 and fish oil because it was supposed to help me with my memory and concentration. Now, I can personally attest to this that really works because now, as a 34-year-old adult, I am still to this day, I am still taking a multivitamin with omega-3 fish oil. And I gotta tell you, it has helped my memory and concentration so much. So much. Like, I don't know how I've ever lived without it, but I'm so grateful. Ever since I've been taking it, and to this day, I can still say that it has done wonders. I am able to remember more. I'm able to concentrate more. It's just been awesome. So definitely taking a multivitamin with omega-3s has been a lifesaver for me personally. And I know it also helps my daughter because my daughter actually has ADHD. And I give her a multivitamin every morning before school. I make her take one with omega-3, and I try to include a lot of omega-3s and fish and in her diet and everything, and it has helped her so much as well. Like it's done wonders for both of us. So I can personally attest to that multivitamin with omega-3s really help. I've also, when I was in school, before cell phones, before I ever had a cell phone, I had a day planner that I carry with me to school every day. And the planner had every single assignment or project that was due with their due dates for each class next to them. And I also had a daily task list that I had listed in numerical order according to which one needed to be finished first, and so on and so forth. Because for me, having a specific list of everything that I had to do in chronological order helped me prioritize everything that I had to get done. So I was never late with deadlines or submitting work because I was able to prioritize all my work and everything I needed to get done correctly. And so I'm so grateful for having learned this skill at an early age, because even being in the military and throughout my entire adult life, the rest of my adult life, with not just with the military, but with my civilian work life, with college, and with parenthood, having a family of my own, and just all other areas of my personal life, prioritizing my task really helped me with productivity and just knocking a lot of shit out, basically. It helped me with being able to prioritize my daughter's task, my own personal task. I was also, it helped me with my military work. But more importantly, once I got out of the military, I was juggling my civilian work life. I was also going to college full time. I was taking 12 to 16 college credits a semester. And I was also doing that with the full time job and also being a mom, being a mom, and just not having the luxury of being able to just take care of myself. I also had to take care of a whole nother human being that was dependent on me for everything. And in particular, my daughter had her own struggles with ADHD, so I was constantly helping her with that as well, and helping her with her homework routine, helping her study for her tests, helping her with everything else, and still having to keep the household running normal the way it should be, having laundry done, not falling behind on laundry, not falling behind on making sure I had dinner done every night, housework, my own college work. I mean, all of that was just, it was hard and it was a lot on my plate. So I'm so grateful that I learned how to prioritize skills and prioritize tasks in order of importance, because otherwise, not having that skill would have really screwed me up as an adult. So I'm grateful that I had that and that I learned that early on in my life. Yeah, it was a lifesaver. And it helped me with my anxiety. So prioritizing also helped me a big deal with my anxiety, because I found that I wasn't as nerve-wracked or overwhelmed when I was better prepared for things. And so it also gave me more time to unwind and settle my mind a little bit, if that makes any sense. It kept me from going crazy and losing my shit. So again, helped a lot. I had more time for me, more time to spend with my daughter, and to just relax. And I remember growing up, what also helped me when I was growing up was staying active with extracurricular activities. So, and it's helped my daughter now with her condition, with her ADHD as well. She was involved in a lot of extracurricular activities. It helps us both. I remember growing up, I was a writer for the school newspaper, and I gave the morning and afternoon announcements from the school's camera room, which I found really neat because I had to give the morning and afternoon announcements on the camera, and the whole school will watch the announcements from the TV in the classrooms. So it was pretty neat. I loved that experience. I enjoyed it. But also, I guess I enjoyed it better because I was behind the camera and everybody else was watching me from the classrooms. So it's not like I had to look at the whole school, watch me give the announcements. So I guess that's what made it better. I was also a photographer for the school yearbook. I was a dancer on the drill team. I was a cheerleader. I was secretary for the student council. I played the keyboard for the band. I was on the golf team and the drama club. So, yeah, I was pretty active in school. But I really loved it because it gave me opportunities to meet and be friends with kids of all different social and creative backgrounds and experiences. So, it made for a well-rounded social circle, and I learned so much from them. So, mind you, these were kids that if I wasn't involved in any of the same activities with them, I otherwise probably would have never even spoken to them. So it helped me branch out and meet all kinds of different people and work with all different personality types and just learn so much from everybody. And I was able to carry all those lessons into my professional adult life as well. I was able to work in teams and cooperate, and just be a cooperative co-worker and colleague and be able to work professionally with all sorts of different personalities and people of all sorts of professional backgrounds and education levels and work ethics. I mean, it was such a huge experience for me, and I was able to take everything that I learned from that into my work life and even in my personal life. I mean, I'm able to associate with all kinds of different people, and so that turned out to be huge for me, a huge blessing. And because of that, it helped push me out of my comfort zone, 'cause it helped. I was often having to contribute to group and team projects and activities in ways that made me have to appear in front of large crowds and perform or speak in front of everybody. And for anyone who knew me as a child, this was a major achievement. So it helped push me out of my comfort zone. It helped challenge me and made me an overall productive and well-rounded person, personally and professionally. So I'm grateful for all those experiences. Now, another thing that I did that was part of my everyday routine as a child growing up, helping me with my ADD, and it's a routine that I've used as an adult. So to this day, I still do this every night. So about an hour before bed, I read my favorite book or magazine, or I put on my earphones and I listen to some music. Now, as a teenager, I was obsessed with Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, and Britney Spears. So that was on my playlist. So I would listen to them constantly, all the time. But as an adult, I still listen to them, but I also listen to a lot of other singers and performers and groups. Like now, my music collection is like over 1,000 songs on my playlist on my phone right now. So I listen to everything. I listen to pop, rock, hip hop, R&B, jazz, classical, contemporary music. I listen to opera music, everything. Country music, you name it, I've heard it. I mean, I listen to anything and everything. I just love music. So for me, popping in those earphones and just letting the music play in my head for about an hour or so before bed works wonders. And I still love to read too, so every now and then I'll read a good book. Also, that helps a lot. And so these were the kind of things that I've been doing since I was a teenager. And I would do it, I would make it part of my nightly routine. Like it was automatic for me. I would get done with all my homework or everything I need to get done for the night, take a nice shower, get, throw my comfortable PJs and just lay down in my bed and just listen to some music or read a good book. And what I noticed is those things were wonders because they helped me mentally unwind and relax from all the homework and the studying and all the work that I've done that day. It basically relaxed me enough so that my mind would be clear and ready to go to sleep. So that way I can actually get some sleep. Because the problem is, I would go to bed and my brain would just be full of things. My mind would just be wandering and just going around the clock, just thinking about everything that I have to do the next day. And I just wasn't, my mind was not relaxing enough for me to actually get sleep. So I noticed that having that nightly routine where an hour before bed, I would just unwind and relax with something that I loved doing or listening to or reading, it helped relax my mind enough to where it's not wandering or racing, and it would allow me to get a much better quality of sleep. And also, it gave me something to really look forward to. So it gave me a reason to run home and focus on my homework or my studying or everything else I needed to get done so that I could have more time to listen to music or read a book before I went to bed. So it was like a great motivator to help me get my shit done and to help me get everything that I need to get, because I needed all the help and motivation I could get. So those are basically the things that I've done, that I've been doing since I was a teenager, that I still do to this day to just help me better manage my time, help me not feel as overwhelmed with all of the work. And it's helped me better able to really relax and unwind and not feel so stressed out at the end of the night. And that way I can wake up the next morning just feeling clear-headed and just feeling energized and refreshed and rejuvenated and, ready for to tackle on another productive day. It helps. It just seems like such a small little things, but it helps wonders. And I hope that for those of you who are currently suffering with ADHD, or for those of you with children that have ADHD, I hope I've given you guys some tips or ideas that you guys can use to incorporate into y'all's everyday lives and into y'all's everyday routines. Things that can really help you or your children better manage ADHD, and also it helps keep everyone calm and keeps the family, just feeling relaxed and comfortable and clear everybody's minds and stress-free, because we're all trying to create a stress-free lifestyle, and that's very important because it's very important for your mental health. Because a lot of people are worried about dieting and exercising and taking care of their bodies and their physical health, but no one ever talks about their mental health. Mental health is so important. Without that, nothing else works, not even your physical body. Your mental health is the most important. Everybody wants to work on their figure and their health, their physical health, but nobody ever wants to work on their mental health. And it is the most important thing you can do for yourself and for your children, for your family. Mental health is the most important thing, guys. Y'all cannot ignore that. It is so important. So I hope that this episode today has encouraged y'all to take better care of your mental health, to understand and basically learn some little tricks and that y'all can use, that y'all can incorporate into your daily routines to help y'all de-stress and better focus and concentrate and improve memory and productivity, and also to help you guys from feeling overwhelmed or stressed out by work and life and kids and all the other stressful situations and all the BS that we have to deal with every day. I hope that this really helps you guys out with that, and I hope you guys get, I guess, better able to deal with stressful situations whenever they do arise, whenever y'all do have stressful situations. I hope you guys are better able to deal with them and manage them in ways that will leave you guys feeling much better about yourselves. With that being said, this is Pi Martinez once again for The Human Connection, and I hope you guys have a productive and healthy and wonderful rest of your day and week. I'll see you guys soon. Bye.